on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back for another edition of the YoteCast podcast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletic Department. It is great to have you alongside for this episode and all season long. You can always go back and check out all of our podcasts that we've done over the last few years and maybe get caught up with somebody. Maybe it's a new coaching staff member or a student athlete that we've had. We've had so many great student athletes and coaches and administrators on the podcast and just able to kind of share their stories. And we love looking for new stories. So certainly if you know a story of a student athlete at USD, that would be great to share. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you and love to look into that story a little bit more. We're coming off of the Summit League Golf Championships for women's golf, and the South Dakota women's golf team finished a runner-up. They entered day three as number three team. They were only four shots off of Denver. Denver shot lights out in the final round. They had a goal for go minus seven, another go minus five. South Dakota had consistent quality golf, but it wasn't enough to chase down Denver, who just played on a different level. But South Dakota did race down North Dakota State, and the Coyotes finished runner-up as a team. We're going to get into that with Coach Brett Bennett coming up in the podcast today. And we will also talk to Helen Gould, who is a distance runner for South Dakota, both cross country and track and field. And she is set to compete in the Drake Relays, which are in her backyard, something she grew up understanding and knowing very, very well. So we have those conversations coming up here in the podcast. Let's get it started with David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. David, if you looked at the calendar lately, the month is quickly fading. The seasons are coming to an end. It seems like as we get close to the end of the month of April, we're getting into or wrapping up spring championship seasons and obviously looking ahead to summer plans for some of these student athletes and everything like that. But it just seems to be going fast now. You start ticking away here the month of April.
It has been interesting because I feel like the past week, it's got to be this point in the time in spring, right? Because I think we've seen great weather, 50-mile-an-hour winds. We've seen sun. We've seen clouds. We've seen rain, sleet, a little bit of, I don't know if it was freezing rain or hail, and probably somewhere in the mix, snow. So, yeah, spring is here. But that also means championship time, season's coming to an end, which is also kind of the fun time as well.
Not in the championship season, football. A lot of excitement for football this time of year across the country because of spring games and some of that. And with the NFL draft quickly approaching as well, it's just got that football feel right now. We had the spring game on Saturday. Decent crowd in attendance for that and a really good hour and a half to hour 45 that those guys practiced. What were your takeaways from the spring game?
You know, I think offensively, while there's still work to do, I thought they've come a long way, and it was good to see some touchdowns early. It was good to see just some of the blocking up front there towards the later portions of the scrimmage. We really saw kind of a push by that offensive line where the run game was getting at least 3 yards just on a push itself. And some of those things are huge just as far as knowing what some of your strengths are and what you might need to work on. Overall, pleased, especially knowing that we probably had a dozen or so guys that did not even participate in spring ball because of injuries coming off surgeries and things like that. So really, you're really looking at some individuals in some new positions. You're really trying to switch things up a little bit. And it's really, a game like this, you don't really know what to expect. You don't know what necessarily the rules are. The rules are whatever Bob decides during the game. There's no score on the scoreboard, so you're really not really sure, okay, who won and who lost in this whole thing. And for the coaches, they're really looking at it and trying to evaluate it. When your roster, you've had to shuffle some of the lineups and some of them, between first string, second string, and third string and move some kids around. They're really just trying to put some people in some positions to see what the fits look like. So overall, pleased with the progress. Now, we know that summer, that additional level of work is going to happen, and then you take that and look into the fall.
You know, as we get into this time as well, you start thinking about, I know it's been a hot topic again here, the old transfer portal. And if I understand it correctly, there's a window open right now for student athletes to enter. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, it becomes an eligibility issue for next fall, unless, of course, they get their undergraduate degree. So there's some rules, but some flexibility in there as well with the transfer portal.
Right. It's kind of coming to a close for them on when they actually would need to submit their name or put their name into the transfer portal. And really, you know, the NCAA did that as a way, as a mechanism to not only help the programs that are where the players currently are, but also to make sure that some of this recruiting, if you will, doesn't happen well into the summer when you don't have a chance to even fill that position. So I like where we're at right now. I think those that are here, those that have committed to be here, I think they had a really good spring run with us, and I don't see it really affecting us at this point. I think those that are going to transfer have transferred. If they're going to hit the portal, they are. Certainly, I think what you're seeing on a lot of these rosters is those rosters are now starting to close up a little bit, and so entering the transfer portal right now is by no means a guarantee of finding a home.
Yeah, well, it's certainly going to be interesting, and I know it's obviously something we continue to talk about because right. It's something that is a lot of interest for people as you can continue to see that pop up, not necessarily a USD thing, but nationwide as we've gone through that. On to some of the championship events. We had one this week with women's golf wrapping up their season. Men's golf is coming up this following week. But what a week for women's golf in the Summit League Championship.
It really was. I remember us talking back in the fall, and they finished, I think, their last tournament of the year, winning down in Missouri. It was the Ozark tournament down. And then, and for this one, really playing unbelievably consistent golf, having two rounds under 290, setting two kind of 54-hole round records or records for us, and finishing second at the Summit League Championships. Now, I go back long enough, and I haven't been totally fact-checked by the time we have this conversation, but I'm pretty sure we've never finished second in the conference tournament before, and let alone having two rounds under 290. So, but just an unbelievable kind of push through, pretty consistent for the three rounds, Danica finishing second in the tournament, and just overall having a group that just played good golf from beginning to end. And I think you and I talked about this, you know, even in some of the rounds, and you look at, you know, and going back and looking at the scoring and how it really kind of played out, you know, especially on that final day, there's a couple bogeys in there, but there's almost just as many birdies in there, and nobody really had a consistent, like, you know, that three or four or five hole stretch where it was just a train wreck. I mean, it was pretty across the board, and you look at some of the other scores where some of the teams were all over the place. So give Coach Bennett a ton of kudos for what he did with these ladies and over the three rounds and finishing second. You want to finish first, but right now, this is a milestone for us, and so we'll take that and figure out a way to build on it next year.
Akari Hayashi finished in the top 10. She had an eagle in that final round, and then Katie Nicola finishes tied for seventh. She channeled her inner David Herbst on the finish, went birdie, birdie, birdie to close out the round.
You know, we've had a lot of conversations about how to finish strong, and she certainly did. But she was one really that it wasn't high or low all in that final round for her. It was basically pars up all the way through 15, and then 16, 17, 18, she birdies. Is pretty much how my golf game finishes too. So really, really proud of her to finish like that.
Really heck of a finish for her and really for this team to finish, not only to finish second, but to kind of keep their distance. In North Dakota State started the third round actually a shot ahead of them, so to right. overcome that and finish in second, and you know they had goals of maybe chasing down Denver. They were within arm's reach. They had a four shot deficit of Denver, but Denver just kind of ran away and hit in that final day.
You know what they really did? They had one of the golfers finished 7-under just on the final day. Another one finishes 5-under. So between those two themselves, they finished 12-under for the day. So that carries the weight for them. They had, we'll get there. I don't worry about that. But for them, I don't think Denver expected to be pushed like this. And both us and North Dakota State certainly pushed them. And it took really a final round like they had today to really create that separation for them to pull away from us.
Yeah, I'm sure the men's team will be asking for some pointers because they'll take to the same course starting this Sunday. It'll be the exact same format, 3 days, three rounds over 3 days for the men's Summit League championship. And I know the tee box gets moved a little bit, but the men will be asking for some tips, I'm sure, from the women's team.
Well, and absolutely, because, you know, they talk a lot. They train together. They practice together. So, yeah, there's definitely going to be some talking going on. But like you said, you know, really, it's, you know, if you do have one bad hole, then you're done with it and you move on to the next one. So in many cases, it's more mental than it is physical. And you know, easy for you and I to say that because we're extremely, you know, superior in both those areas on the golf course, right?
No doubt. Cool to see women's golf finishing second as a team, and hopefully they can carry that momentum into, as they get their fall season fired up again next year and all that good stuff as well. Track, I know that they kind of lost one to Mother Nature over the weekend, but they were able to move their event to Monday. Kind of had a shortened event on Monday, but still able to host an event, and it was a success.
It really was. First of all, beautiful weather to have an event like that, to see everybody. Such a difference from what Friday or Saturday would have been for us, when you see everybody literally just in their singlets, in their tops, and not bundled up or covered up in between races. It was just a beautiful overall day. But this is one of those, you know, kind of last ditch or, you know, days or meets, right? Because we go to Drake Relays this, you know, the upcoming weekend. So there are some that maybe hadn't quite qualified yet or hadn't quite gotten the times, the distances, or the marks that they wanted. So a meet like this really allows that to happen. And it came together on pretty short notice, as you can imagine, after, you know, having to postpone the meet that we had Friday, Saturday. So it had a good turnout and some great marks.
Yeah, including a 29-year-old record that got shattered by who other than Aaron Kinney, who has just been lightning quick.
So when I saw that, and, you know, my wife Kelly was a sprinter in college, All-American sprinter in college, and so I always have to look at her and say, okay, help me out. Is 11.28 fast? And she looks at me like, oh, you poor imbecile. Yes, it is fast. And so I'm like, well, she's my barometer. Like, I just need to understand the relevance here. So, but for Aaron to break a 29-year-old record, clocking in 11.28 now, it was the 31st fastest time of the spring in Division I college. That means 30 other women out there ran faster than that. And that is, you, and physically watching that, being there and seeing her run that fast, you get a totally different perspective than just watching on TV, because she is really moving. And then not only for her to run that, but then J.C. Pulse runs an 11.66. So to have two women in on your team that are running under like 11.7 in the 100, it's a testament to this program. And then they turn around and jump on a 4x1 relay, and they're clocking in at 44.9 seconds, which broke a facility record. So they were moving. And the nice thing is, because in many cases in outdoor meets for us, those don't count because of the wind, and many times they're wind aided, but these were actually wind legal times.
You know, you mentioned J.C. Pulse, and she runs the fourth fastest time in USD history, but the celebration is with the broken record, because Aaron Kinney was just a little bit faster, less than a half second faster than her. But right. Two of them in the same race finished champion or runner up. Two of the top four in program history is pretty special.
That is really special. I'm sure JC's going, what do I got to do?
Yeah, right.
Well, it's easy. Just run faster.
Right.
But no, yeah, you're right. But again, such such great ladies and good representatives of USD and the Coyote Track program. Really proud of their and happy for them and their success.
Yeah, no doubt. And you mentioned the Drake Relays that'll be this weekend, and really cool. I know that's been going on a long time, more than 130 years that they've had the Drake Relays, and they just keep plugging away. And it's something that's really special in the track world.
It really is. It's, you know, there's going to be different relays around the country and different track meets around the country that are special, and especially in the Midwest, this is one of those. In talking to my wife about it, I think she would sit there and tell you that it's really probably not the Drake Relays unless at least one of the days you're going to get rain, you're going to get weather, you're going to get something. And you look ahead to the weekend, I think right now Friday and Saturday are predicted, you know, 50% chance of rain. At least it's going to be in the mid low to mid-60s, let's say, but figures it'd be Drake relays and there'd be rain.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You just know some of those events, what's going to happen, and you can kind of plan for it. You know, softball's home this weekend. They just got a couple of series left in their regular season. They're gearing up for, of course, the Summit League softball tournament, and they're trying to get some momentum here at the end of the season. Feel good going into that tournament, but just, it's hard to believe, 6 games left in the conference season.
Right, it's really coming down. So, you know, home this weekend against St. Thomas. And looking forward to that. Of course, that'll be senior day as well, being able to say farewell to our great seniors and then turn around and go on the road the following weekend to South Dakota State. So, you know, we sit in a good position in the conference right now. Each game going forward is going to be extremely important. So not only for conference standings, but seeding purposes, but in some cases too, a little bit of confidence as you're going into the postseason, that you got to feel good. You know, the pitchers got to feel good. The bats have to feel good. You know, the arms have to feel good. You just have to really start to play some good softball and just play the game. You know, a little bit about, you know, there's going to be some mistakes. There's going to be some errors, but just, you have to be able to play through that and just kind of work through to the end.
You know, it begs the question. You've been to plenty of softball games and all of that. So let's say you were getting your at-bat, softball, baseball, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. What would be your walk-up song? Have you thought about that before?
No, I've thought about it, but I've never thought about what song it would be. So, you know, I do get a kick out of some of the walk-up music that they have and wondering, what is it about this particular song that you made that your song, right? Because some is real pump-up music. Some it's more about what the lyrics are. Maybe it's, you know, who's the artist or whatever. So I'm probably old enough that, you know what? I'm going to go way back. I could probably come up with a song relative to today, but I don't know the names of the songs or the artists, so we could be here for longer than people want to listen. I'm going to reach way back. I'm going to go Led Zeppelin, and I'm going to go The Immigrant Song. Now, okay, so everybody's now going to go, which one is that? And yep. As soon as you go Google it, or as soon as you pull it up on Apple or whatever it is that you have, you're going to, oh, that's it. Okay, right. I got that. That's a good one.
Yep.
Okay.
As soon as you hear it
right away. Within 5 seconds, you're going to know what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
what's yours? Have you thought about that yet?
I think I would be down to one of two. Either Kryptonite, Three
yep.
Doors Down.
Yep. Okay. I like that one.
Or Crazy Train. Ozzy
Osbourne.
Just because of the way it starts.
Yeah, that does have just an amazing, because really your walk-up song, you might really have 5 to 15 seconds.
That's right.
So you just need that initial jolt,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like good choices.
I think they would be mine. So
I'm writing those into the playlist.
I think if those are being played for us, we'll probably be the top two on the team in home runs.
Easily.
See. Good stuff this week, as always. Really appreciate it. I know there's a lot going on, but at the same time, a lot quickly winding down. So really appreciate your time, as always.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. Helen Gould is a distance runner for USD. She was awarded a Coyote Character Award at the Charlies, the Student Athlete Awards Banquet, which happened just a little over a week ago. And I had a chance to catch up with her and talk to her about her career at South Dakota and going home to Des Moines for the Drake Relays.
Helen, you continue through your track season, and obviously you can see coming up to the end of April means it is fast coming to a close. Is that hard to imagine, how quickly some of these seasons go?
Oh, definitely. I feel like each season just gets faster and faster. Cross country, we, you know, have a meet typically every other weekend, so that moves a little bit slower, and then indoor comes, and that seems like it's like a blink of an eye. And then once we get to outdoor and we're traveling so much, it's like once it starts, it's almost done.
Talk about some of that travel for outdoor, because you guys have gone all over the place. I know they've had athletes in Texas and California and some different places. Mm-hmm. What is it like traveling with a track team? It's a pretty big squad to take.
It is. We always get some interesting questions in the airport. Everyone's always just wondering what we're doing, who we are, where we're going. But yeah, this season's been really busy. I think probably the busiest outdoor season I've had just with travel. We took a small distance group to North Carolina, and then that next week turned around and went to Texas Relays. So we don't usually go back to back with bigger trips, so that was exciting. It's busy but exciting. And then 2 weeks after that, we went to California. So, and then I guess that first week when the distance squad went to North Carolina, the rest of the track team went to San Diego. So it's been busy, but
you talk about not having too many like back-to-back trips, especially longer trips. And I would imagine some of that has to do with just simply recovery of the body. Mm-hmm. How does that challenge you when you have back-to-back long trips? You got to get your body right so that you can feel good for the second event.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is difficult just because you can't really control when you're on the plane and, you know, at the gate just kind of sitting and waiting around most of the day, or like standing waiting for bags, waiting for cars, you know, you can't really control that stuff. So I think it's just making the best out of the situation you have. Try and stand up and stretch and move around as much as you can, and the coaches also kind of, you know that we're going through that, and they can alter our training a little bit for it, you know, try to get done what we can before we leave and then rest up, you know, maybe the day after and go back to a little bit of normalcy after that.
You compete in cross country, indoor track and field, outdoor track and field. I mean, I don't know if people can do math very well, but that takes up the entire year. What kind of a grind is it to be constantly, you know, we talk about off seasons for a lot of sports, and you don't really have much of an off season.
Yeah, it is busy. But one thing that's nice is there is a little bit of variety within each season. Like cross country, our training's typically, you know, a little bit longer and different, just training for a longer race. And then once we get to indoor, it's, you know, we shift to a little bit more speed work, quicker movement. And then for me, like once we get to outdoor, I do steeplechase, so it gets even more different to outdoor. So it can be long, but I think that the variety of the races and workouts definitely helps. But I'm always ready by the end of the summer for a little break.
Do you take time off or do you keep running? Do you just love running that much?
You know, there are definitely some people on the team who just like to get in the habit of running every day, and they hate time off. I'm not one of them. by the end of the spring, I like to take a couple weeks off before training again for a cross, but this year I'll be all done, so I'll be taking a little bit of time off for sure.
I always think people who run any kind of distance races, whether it's in track and field or whether it's cross country, you have to absolutely love running to be able to mm-hmm. go those distances and want to train like that. Mm-hmm. How did you develop a love for running?
I feel like it started really young for me. My dad was always active in running, so he, you know, kind of encouraged me to try some 5Ks and just run competitively. So I started young. I just always liked to challenge myself and just try and see what I could do. And I think that as I was able to compete more, that just slowly grew. And I think now it's almost like, yes, I enjoy being competitive and, you know, even in practice, like working out hard with my teammates, but I also see it more of a stress relief than I did growing up. Like I feel like I'm almost better behaved after I run. Like I just need it more of a stress relief and just to get some energy out.
Well, you're better behaved because you have no energy left to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's honestly part of the reason I think my parents encouraged it for me. I was such a rowdy child. They were like, we need her to do something that takes a lot of energy out. So maybe that's why they've encouraged it.
Yeah, well, everybody has their reasons if they get into running and they stick to it. What's a typical training week like for you? I would imagine there's a mixture of days of some shorter runs and some longer runs because you can't just go mm-hmm. 10 miles every day.
Yeah. So each, I mean, it kind of depends on where we're going, but each week is kind of similar. So we'll do an easy day Monday typically. Tuesday and Friday are our workouts. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday are typically easier, shorter days, just recovery. Tuesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever the meet is, or if there's no meet, then another workout. We'll work out or race those days. And then sometime on the weekend, sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday, we do a longer run. So that's usually, for me, it's like probably 10 to 12 miles, but it just really depends on who you ask. But that's kind of what I like about distance running is you get a little bit of variety, but the weeks are pretty similar. You always kind of know what to expect.
All right, I've got to ask, how many miles is considered an easy day?
For me, I typically do 6. But on the team, it can probably, like for the girls, probably 4 to 6. For the guys, ooh, I don't even know. You'd have to ask Charlie what he does. I think probably 7 to 10, maybe even 12 for some of the higher mileage guys. They'll do 2 runs a day. So on the easy days even. So it just depends.
That's a lot for a considered easy day, I think. But, everybody has their routine. You talked about steeplechase, and that's kind of where your focus is right now in the outdoor season a little bit. You've had a great deal of success in the steeplechase, winning the Summit League last year. And I think of the Drake Relays last year, you set a personal best at that time. And now you're going back to the Drake Relays. Explain the steeplechase, a distance run with obstacles.
Yes. So it's 3,000 meters, so a little less than 2 miles, and each lap has 4 hurdle jumps and 1 water barrier. So I don't know, it just keeps you focused. That's what I like about it, is you can't really get bored during the steeplechase because you have to be aware of what's coming up. So it's different, but I like it.
It's an interesting event for sure. Do you like, I'm curious, like obviously you do a lot of cross country, you do a lot of distance running. Do you like the cross country runs more, or do you kind of like the multi-event more? Or the I guess I should say steeplechase.
Yeah, steeplechase is definitely my favorite. Even coming into school before, I was interested in exploring it, but Iowa doesn't have it in high school, so I had never tried it before. But I think kind of coming into college, I knew that I was more of a track gal than cross. I knew that cross country would help train for track, so I was, always interested in doing it, and I do like it, but I just like the distances in track more, so, and the steeplechase, so I think I'm probably more of track steeplechase, and I think that I also just enjoy it because I typically do better in them. Like, cross country is not as much my strong suit distance-wise, so I just prefer track.
What's the biggest challenge in the steeplechase, or the biggest thing that you have to focus on each time you go out there?
Good question. I think probably just like the last couple laps are just really difficult. I think that when I was first starting, I would probably have said like the water pit, just because it's kind of unique and different. But I feel like at this point I've done enough of it that I'm more comfortable with it. But I think it just requires a lot of focus out of you. Like, I have to constantly remind myself, like, to kind of accelerate into the hurdle jumps so I don't, because I like to hit it with, like, one leg. So just kind of accelerating into the jumps and just getting over them smoothly, because as you get tired, it's just harder and harder to keep moving into them. So I think just kind of focusing on what's ahead and being able to execute the jumps well is maybe the trickiest part for me, but also just once you get to the last couple laps, it's burning. So I think that just trying to remind yourself to have good form when you're in pain is difficult.
You're a veteran at it now, and you were interested coming out of high school. When you go to college, you kind of sometimes get put into events that coaches think maybe you'll have an opportunity to be successful at. How long did it take you to figure out how to run the steeplechase, being a little bit different than just your regular distance run?
So I guess when I first came in, I was interested. So we did just some sand jumps, and we'd been doing a decent amount of hurdle work. So and I don't know, I feel like there's kind of two philosophies in steeple. One is just kind of like you gotta get over it, and the other one is more a little strategic, and I feel like I've kind of practiced a little bit of those both. Like, when I first started, I was just kind of like, okay, like, just kind of go for it and just see how you do. And I feel like as I've continued, as I've had more experience with it, I've been like, okay, I know I can do it. How can I be a little bit more strategic with my form, and how can I execute it a little bit better? So I think it's just varied over time, but I don't know. I guess I feel like I've practiced it both ways.
Sure. This weekend will be a little bit special for you. It probably always is. You basically go back home into your backyard into Des Moines for the Drake mm-hmm. Relays, and you're from West Des Moines, so you were mm-hmm. well aware of the Drake Relays growing up, I'm mm-hmm. sure. What is it always like a different mindset when you go back home, and you probably get a little bit more support at that particular meet, but mm-hmm. it's also just in your backyard.
Yeah, yeah, it's always been so fun just to go back to Des Moines for it. I always look forward to it. But it's, you know, it's fun to just, you know, being at the Relays in high school, you see all of the, like, professionals and the collegiate athletes. So it's just like in high school, I always looked up to those people. And it's fun to go back and be like, oh, you know, I'm now one of these people. And it's just fun to get to kind of watch the high schoolers and just remember how you felt when you raced, you know, in high school. And yeah, as you said, I definitely have more support when I go. I always get to see high school coaches and family and friends. So it's just always a lot of fun. I always enjoy going and just being back in the area. My teammates probably get annoyed because I'm always like, look, this is where this happened and this is where this happened. But yeah, I like to be kind of a tour guide when I can.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm excited for my final one. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, it is mm-hmm. crazy. And I mentioned this earlier, but you actually last year hit a PR there in the steeplechase. Mm-hmm. How cool was that? Just, it's always cool to PR, but yes. also being at home.
Yeah, yeah. It's just exciting to, when you have a good race, especially there, you know, because you do have people who are there to watch. It just means a little bit more maybe than if you were out somewhere, you know, in Nebraska or, you know, wherever else. I don't know. It just means a little bit more when you have everyone in your corner there cheering you on. So it's exciting. Hopefully I can do it again on Thursday. We'll see.
Well, you got to get it going and see how it goes, right? Mm-hmm. Last week we had the Student Athlete Awards banquet, the mm-hmm. Charlies, and you were awarded the Character Award, mm-hmm. Character Award for Women's Cross Country. And mm-hmm. people may or may not know this, but that's given to one individual for each sport. One male, one female, if we have male and female sports, whatever. And you got it for cross country. And that's an award that it's looked at as role models for South Dakota student athletes and kind of an award that people really hold at a high honor. What did that mean to you to be selected for that particular award?
Yeah, it was a big honor for me. I think that one isn't enough for the, when I think of the people on our team. So, you know, I think we have a lot of people who have great character. So I was honored to be chosen as the one, but I think that there's definitely others who are, you know, very deserving, but I was very appreciative. So yeah, very excited.
You keep talking about the last one, your last track run, mm-hmm. that type of thing.
Yes.
What's next for you? What do you hope to do next?
Yeah, so I am moving back home. I'm going back to Des Moines, Waukee specifically. So I'm going to work as a growth and development specialist at an insurance brokerage in Waukee. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to have it all lined up and just kind of know what I'm doing and start planning for that. So
as you start to look back at some point you'll step away and you'll look back at this time at the University mm-hmm. of South Dakota, but how would you sum up your experience at USD?
Ooh, that is tough. You know, when I think about like the last few years, I just think that I've just had a lot of opportunities presented to me. In terms of like competition and travel and just resources. And I just feel like for where I was at, like competitively, I think it's been a great choice for me just to be able to compete, but also have a good balance of, you know, intensity with also understanding that I'm also a student athlete and, you know, have some other things going on. So I think it's been a good balance of school and athletics, and I'm just very thankful that I found it and have had the opportunity to compete and study here. I'm very grateful, and I'm sad to leave, but I'm also looking forward to the next chapter.
Yeah. no doubt. Well, your break from running will come very, very soon. Until then, keep grinding. Good luck the rest of the year, and good luck after college as well. Really appreciate the time.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
That's Helen Gould, a distance runner for the University of South Dakota, who's been competing in track and also track and field and also in cross country in her career. So we'll continue to see how she closes out her career. She's excited to move back home and start the real world, the real job, and all of that following the track and field season. Appreciate her time hanging out with us and talking about her career at South Dakota. The South Dakota women's golf team is coming off of a team runner-up finish at the Summit League Golf Championships in Lincoln, Nebraska, which wrapped up on Tuesday. And the Coyotes, with a program record not only in round two with a 289, but a round three program record as well, 286 for South Dakota in those rounds. And the Coyotes finished runner-up as a team. We're joined by the head coach of the South Dakota women's golf team, Brett Bennett. Coach, you know, you obviously are well aware of this, but as I just mentioned, you saw a number of program team records happen in this event. What a perfect time at the Summit League Championships.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you talk about those numbers there and, you know, program records relative to par. And I didn't even, you know, really realize that was happening. And what I mean by that is we were just playing great golf and I knew we were capable of it. And at certain points within rounds, we were even better than what we finished. So, you know, you talk about those records and we're on course and we're not thinking about those things. And I think as we get ourselves removed, you know, a week or two, we might be able to reflect on those true numbers a little bit more. But, you know, the biggest thing, you know, besides the numbers that sticks out of us is a runner-up finish at conference. Denver being 38th ranked in the nation, that's just a different level. And to be able to compete with them for a couple of rounds and most importantly, play with them. I think that's what a lot of our underclassmen will draw upon from this experience. But the runner-up finish, you know, to beat, you know, kind of those other teams in the middle of the pack, go back to my first year and finish fourth and fifth and, you know, kind of have that vision to make that jump and to see it come to fruition, you know, 4 or 5 years later, I think that just speaks volumes to the student-athletes within our program.
You go into the final day of this thing and you're shot back of North Dakota State, who's in second place, your team in third, you're four back of Denver for the team race entering the final day. Golf is such an individual sport. You know, you think of basketball or volleyball or football and you can give a big motivational speech to everybody, pick each other up, but this is a little bit different. What'd you see out of your team entering the final day? Their focus is, you know, they obviously had a goal of a team title, but really second, this runner-up finish was also well in their view.
Well, you know, you're sitting around a team meeting and kind of looking at each other and saying, well, you know, what would have been our goal at the beginning of the season and you know, to be where we're at, entering the last day of conference and the final pairing, a couple of back, I think we obviously would have taken that. But I, you know, just looking at the group and just seeing the love that was there, and I think, you know, that was really the power behind where we were at and ultimately where we finished. And so, yeah, you talk about the individual game and, you know, playing for each other while we're out there. And, you know, for me, communicating to some, hey, you know, if you're not going well, you know, your teammates got your back. And for those that are playing well, like, hey, you know, keep playing for your teammates, as this is helping our team that much more. So just entering that final round, I think, you know, we had two that were going to finish their career unless we won, which I had to kind of laugh. Akari, I kind of mentioned that and wanted to thank the two that were going to wrap up their careers. And she said, hey, it doesn't have to be over yet. And I looked at it and I said, thank you very much, Akari. So that, you know, just goes to kind of the feeling that was in the room in terms of, hey, like, we've got a legitimate chance at this and we just got to put together another good round and we might have a crack at it. And truth be told, we played a great round and we just got out great rounded, I guess you could say, by Denver with them posting 10 under par. So just proud of the group that they came out and played one good round. And, you know, as we turned to the back nine on that third round, it looked, you know, that Denver was kind of pulling away. And, you know, really the horse race for second place was on between us and NDSU. We were pretty much tied kind of making that turn. So that's kind of how the third round shook out. But just proud of the group in terms of, you know, having that vision and wanting to, you know, to compete for the title.
I know you take a look at this team individually. Obviously, Danica Badura finishes in tied for second. I'm sure she was excited and a little bit frustrated with that, with finishing on with a bogey on that last one. But she had a really, really great tournament. And I know that she's had some ups and downs throughout the course of the spring. But 72, 71, and 70 in her three rounds. Really good to see her find it here at the Summit League tournament.
It was, you know, just to put a kind of bow on her career here at USD, as she'll be graduating and moving on as a grad transfer. You know, it was, we've been in those offices with tears. We've been on the golf course with tears, but we've also had those highs within the last couple of years. And so just to, you know, really have her come out and, you know, middle of her second round through 10, be 4 under par, you know, make some bogeys coming in. And we talked about that. You know, in terms of those bogeys could have occurred on, you know, 4, 7, and 11. They just happened to occur at the end of the round. And it wasn't anything from a mental perspective of, oh crap, I'm 4 deep. You know, what am I doing here? It was, you know, she just kind of miscued on a couple of shots and made a couple of bogeys coming in that second round to shoot even par. And, you know, really then the third round kind of just put the team on her back and steady Eddie and give us an even par round. You know, just helped us kind of carry us to the position that we were. So just, you know, so happy for her to be able to put that together and just kind of end on a high note there.
Katie Nicola has moved her way into kind of your second spot in the lineup all season long, and she got off to just a tough start with round 180, but she got so much better over the next 2 days, including finishing birdie, birdie, birdie. Now, that'll make you forget about some bad shots when you finish with 3 straight birdies.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Go back to the beginning, like you had said, she posts 80 on the first day and, you know, we get 4, 5, 6, 7 holes in and we're having conversation. Coach, I'm anxious. I'm not feeling, you know, my stomach's turning, you know, all those sorts of things. She's at a tournament that she wants to perform and she hasn't had the experience, right? So that is what day one was, and we chalked it up to that. And so that was a good conversation in terms of just handling our nerves and trying to get comfortable maybe when we're not comfortable. And, you know, I knew day two she would bounce back, and that's exactly what she did. And then as you look at day three, I update her through 9. She's got 9 pars. I update her again through 12 as a refresh golf stat. She's got 12 pars and then 15 pars, and I'm like, good grief. And I saw her on 13T, and I just said, hey, I know where you're at. You probably got up and down a couple of times. You probably missed a couple of birdie putts. But I legitimately said, when they start to go in, they will go in. And I hit refresh. And we get to 18, and she rolls in about a 40-footer for birdie. And at that point, that's our 3-player within the round. And I'm like, oh, man, that's huge. And then I refresh, and we jump from +4 to -1. And I'm like, good grief, what happened? And she finishes birdie, birdie, birdie. So at that point, you know, we were 1 or 2 ahead of NDSU, and that's just legitimately what kind of secured our runner-up finish. So just happy for her to end on that note. And she's had a tremendous freshman year. And when I recruited her, I told her she was going to come in and have a huge effect on our program. And that's exactly what happened, specifically in this event. And I'm proud of her.
I know you mentioned Akari earlier, talking about kind of a leadership role when you were in your team meeting. But she was a steady Eddie in this thing. I'm sure she would like to say, or she would like to have done better herself, because that's just who she is. But a very good, I thought, a very good tournament for her.
Yeah, it's, you look at the whole season, you know, sample of work, and it's been that. Yeah, she, you know, shoots a couple over here or there, but, you know, makes an eagle on hole number 6 in the third round after making a double on number 5. So, like, you know, those are the things that she knows she has to do after making a mistake and converts on, you know, a situation like that. So she's been one for us. She's been our horse, and she did exactly what we needed to do. And if you look, you know, up and down the lineup, we were solid all week, John. I mean, we take 2 doubles there at the end of the second round from Emma. You know, it kind of jumps our score up a little bit. But honestly, I threw, you know, just even in the second round, through 72 holes, we played 70 of them at 1 over par. I mean, come on, like, that's golfing your ball. So, Yeah, she contributed, and I'm happy that she was able to do what she wanted to do, and obviously wanted a couple more birdies. And that's her flat stick. Like, she's giving herself looks, and she just kind of keeps communicating, coach, when it gets, going in those fall, it's going to be dangerous. And I've seen it, and it just hasn't been there. So, we'll get to the summer, and she's at some point just going to like post a 65, and it's going to be no surprise to any of her teammates or myself. But it's all about timing, right?
Emma Henningsen and Molly Fossen also in the lineup. They had very consistent rounds throughout the tournament as well. I know when you get to golf, you're looking for good rounds, but you're also looking for consistency and really up and down your lineup. That's what we saw.
Molly, you look at her through the spring, specifically the last four events. I don't think she's posted anything over 77. I was just looking at that last night, just kind of reviewing the year. And she's like, she's given us that, that third four score, which, even the third round here this week, she shoots, 75 and was plus four. Like, that just kind of gives us a solid number, to kind of base a team score around. So, I'm so proud of her. I look at her career in 5 years where for 3.5, she competed as an individual here or there, but wasn't a lineup a gal for us. And, she gets an opportunity last fall and just takes advantage of it there her junior year, and then comes into this year and is like, hey, coach, can I take a fifth year? I said, you're more than welcome. Come on out. So she's just contributed so much, and she's, just kind of been a voice within the group. And, it's cool to see that, player that has to do some work coming in freshman year, which we talked about. And then to see her come in and, finish with 77 average this year and really 5 or 6 strokes from where she was at freshman year. Like, that's the student athlete experience, right, from a golf perspective. So proud of her. And Emma, like you had mentioned, has just been a rock for us. And, she hits the ball so hard, we just kind of have to fine tune her game a little bit. And she will, she's just so calm on the golf course. I'm just so impressed with her that she doesn't ride the roller coaster, which is a term that we like to use sometimes because our emotions can become that roller coaster. And that's not her. So her success is going to come, and we've seen glimpses of it. But, just freshman year, her averaging just over 77, like, you get 3 or 4 years down the road, and that girl's going to be a top-notch player in this conference for sure.
For most of us, we look at golf season and feel like it's a very short season when we get to the what we call spring, but it's kind of a winter to summer mix and then into the summer. But for college golf, it's a long season and a challenging season given the weather that we see. And you guys do a lot of traveling. You look back to the fall season and then into the spring. You've got runner-up team finishes, a team title down at the Ozarks National, and then of course the Summit League runner-up. How do you sum up this season?
Man, I gotta take a deep breath because it's the fall we ended on a high note, and we come back into the spring and our first two events out of the gate, John, we were flat. You talk about the weather; we weren't outside, I just try to stay patient with the group and believe in them, and they believed in themselves too. And so, we were just building and trending, honestly, into this conference event with our play in Atlanta at Kennesaw State, and then our play in Omaha. So I knew it was there, but to put this together at the end of the season, I don't really have words for it. It's just, it's so cool. And to summarize our season, I just think that the group, believed in each other and loved each other and just had fun together, and that's ultimately why the results were there. And I'm just excited to see what our underclassmen can do this summer and come back next year. And we're adding four new freshmen next year, so we kind of revamp again a little bit. And it's just going to be a matter of the upperclassmen kind of passing on the knowledge to the new ones. And, as we wrap up this year, I'm already kind of looking to next year already. But I think this week we've got our team end of the season meeting next Tuesday, and just kind of to wrap it up. And I think we'll all kind of take this week to really soak in what happened, because we knew what we accomplished at conference. But I think we'll really be able to reflect on that after, kind of have a little bit of time to chew on it. But just proud of the group and happy that that they got runner up. And I know that's not winning, but at the end of the day, with Denver in the conference, it's nice to beat up on some of those other North Dakota schools, if I can be honest, or Dakota schools, excuse me, all of them. So that's fun.
You know, you look at next year, and I know you need a, like, all right, let's appreciate this year before we start talking about next year. But we always got to look ahead a little bit. And, you know, it's interesting when you look up and down the lineup, it's going to be you got a couple of freshmen who got great experience this year. And obviously you mentioned players coming in. You're going to go from essentially a veteran-led lineup to kind of a younger lineup, albeit with experience, but ultimately it's going to be a lot younger lineup next season.
It will be. And, you know, I had a couple of conversations with this year's freshmen to be sophomores in our end of the season individual meetings last week prior to conference. And I said, hey, you know, this is going to be a different position for you. We're going to have to, you know, kind of have you step into a role that, you know, maybe you didn't foresee yourself. And they're looking at me like, coach, I'm not even done with my freshman year yet. Why are you having this conversation with me? But, you know, I just need them to kind of start to turn the page and acknowledge where they're going to be at within our program and, you know, what they took away from this year and being able to, you know, pass that information along. So, yeah, four freshmen, three sophomores and a senior next year is what the game plan as of now and what we're going to have. So, you know, you look at the younger group and you got to get them in as much competitive atmosphere as you can and hopefully take some individuals to events and give that opportunity. So, yeah, it's, you know, we end on this note, but I'm already spinning the wheels on that and just really excited about the four that we've got coming in. And every coach says that almost every year. But truthfully, you know, we've got one from Germany. We've got one from Colorado, one from Minnesota, and another one from Illinois. So just kind of a good makeup of players and excited to get them here and in Vermilion and on USD and in classes and a part of our program.
Well, excited to see where it continues. Congratulations on the year and the runner-up finish at the Summit League Golf Championships. I hope you get a chance to step away, kind of get some time for yourself, and maybe you can get on a golf course soon with a more relaxed environment, all right?
Well, I appreciate that. I just want to thank everybody for following us through Golfstat. I've gotten about 20, 30 texts here from USD people here the last couple of weeks. And, you know, they're riding the roller coaster at home, hitting refresh as much as I am on the golf course. So just want to thank everybody for their support. And, you know, golf is kind of a different sport, and I just appreciate them investing in our program.
No doubt about it. Appreciate it, Coach. Thanks so much.
You got it. Go Yotes.
That's Brett Bennett. He is the head women's golf coach at the University of South Dakota, and a heck of a finish for the women's golf team as they were able to get that team runner-up finish at the Summit League Championships at Wilderness Ridge in Lincoln. Hopefully the women's golf team can provide some tips for the men's golf team because they begin play this week at the Summit League Golf Championship. Same course in Lincoln. That is where all of that is. Speaking of that, let's take a look at what is coming up in Coyote Athletics as we get closer to the end of the month of April. And we wrap this thing up with the month of April. May is on Monday. So don't forget about that. Track and field is at the Drake Relays this weekend. They'll also have some track athletes at the Kip Jandrin Open in Indianola, Iowa. That is over the course of the weekend for both of those. The softball team is back home this weekend at Nygaard Field. They'll take on St. Thomas, noon start time for a doubleheader on Saturday. And they're back at it on Sunday, 11 a.m. for game three of the series. Big series for South Dakota as they try to continue to finish here at the regular season. Two weekends left in the regular season as they get ready for the Summit League Softball Championships. The men's golf team is set for the Summit League Championships at Wilderness Ridge in Lincoln. Those are set to run Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Hopefully some magic for the Coyote men's golf team this weekend in Lincoln at the Summit League Golf Championships. As always, all of our schedules are subject to change thanks to the great weather that we have in the great state of South Dakota. So for all of those potential changes, keep up to date with GoYotes.com. They'll have all of those schedule updates as they happen at GoYotes.com. That's it for me. Thanks so much for your time listening to today's podcast. My thanks to Helen Gould and David Herbster and Brett Bennett for joining the show this week. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend, and until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.